present the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Kristen DeProspero, President and CEO of Funding Solutions Corporation, and you can find Kristen at FundingSolutionsCorp.com. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good morning, Mark.
It's been a long time coming. We tried to arrange this for a while.
It has, yeah.
But it'll be worth it. Let's start with some of your background, please. Tell the what we're going to be discussing today is various types of funding, especially for the stimulus program, but also generically grants money coming from federal, state, and local governments. And this is the area that you are expert in. So, how'd you get there?
Well, it's interesting. I started out in technology and communications in the telecommunications market, working for companies like Sprint and MCI. But I tended to be always a local government rep, you know, dealing with the public sector. And I'll tell you, Mark, one too many times I had a deal go south when they said, we didn't get the grant. And I said, what grant? So I really had to start brushing up on what are they talking about? What are these grants? What are these funding sources? And that started 22 years ago. So I then progressed to build state and local government groups within different companies, typically technology companies like Polycom or PictureTel, VTEL, these communications, collaborative communications companies, and subsequently built grant assistance programs to help the public sector customers really understand and navigate these different funding sources because they were just as confused as we were in most cases.
A friend of mine, Max Peterson, talks about government contracting when he says, where there's mystery, there's margin. So I would imagine the same thing here, where there's a little bit of mystery, there's opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and your job is to make it less mysterious for the companies you work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to send some of the inquiries that I get because I don't know anything about this process. So this is going to be very cool for me. But I've been able to send the people who inquire to me to you, and mm-hmm. I don't know if you can help them or not because I have no idea if their requests are based in any form of reality. So, and hopefully we'll during the course of this conversation we'll determine what are the bounds of reality here, what's doable, what's not doable, what will be funded by ERA, et cetera. So let's start with what are the big categories for the stimulus funding that you're seeing, that you're doing?
Yeah, let me talk to that a minute. And also let me just say that with grants in general, you know, they've been around since before the Constitution,
right.
Grants and aid. So it's been a growing portion of the way we do business. And I know that you know the federal government, they get their budget. The federal agencies get to spend what they budget. But what a lot of people don't think about is how that flows out to the state and local side. But with the stimulus, boy, that was a game changer because it just took the volume of grants, you know, just the sheer number of opportunities through the roof, as well as the amount, really, to over $1 trillion when you looked at some of the traditional grants and then add the stimulus to it. But in general, they're trying to pay for things like healthcare, education, roads, transportation, that kind of thing. So when you think about your tax dollars and what it's flowing back into the state and local and the municipalities, it's those things like education, the schools, and there's been a big push towards technology because as we know, we're all using technology all the time, and you know, whether it's computers or routers or visual communications or iPods or whatever it is, that they're trying to be innovative and create a very well-educated and group of citizens that can get good jobs, create good jobs. So it's about the jobs, it's about education, it's about healthcare, it's about the workforce. And really, any company that sells into public sector organizations, the .orgs, the .govs, the .edus, any of those kind of organizations are eligible. But you know what's interesting is private sector companies are also eligible for some of the stimulus funding. They can apply and get some of those dollars, but most of them don't realize that.
Well, what would qualify a company to apply? What kind of work would they need to be doing, and what kinds of transparencies are involved?
Well, it depends on the type of funding source, and that's really where it gets complicated, because you do get a little bit of insight when you watch what's happening in Washington and you look at the budgets and the conversations that they're trying to develop, but really there's no concrete announcement that tells you about these grants any further out than 60 days. You get a 60-day notice that now this grant or this funding source is available, and they're doing invitations to apply. So when you only get 60 days notice, it's really, really tough. But so let me give you an example. There's quite a few grants that are due in the next 60 days. There's a relatively small one from the U.S. Department of Agriculture called the Distance Learning and Telemedicine Grant, which is one that I've worked with a lot because it goes with my background. But
yeah, I'd say Polycom, Pitchertel, VTEL, that's right up your alley.
Exactly, distance learning, telemedicine. And when you think about telemedicine, that's a really hot topic right now.
It really is.
And they're focused on rural America. Well, if there is a private organization who can implement a solution that can assist and help rural folks in the country with some sort of innovative and cost-saving and even life-saving telemedicine program, they can apply.
If, for instance, a company, one of your former employees, Pitchertel and Polycom and VTEL, if they identified the telemedicine component here, could they combine to apply for that grant?
Well, the manufacturers probably wouldn't, but what they're doing is making sure that they market and increase awareness to their customer base, because these customers, I mean, this is such an interesting time, because when you think about public sector, let's take a small rural healthcare facility or a small school district in a rural area with a few hundred students. They don't have resources that focus on grants. They've probably had to lay them off because their budgets are shrinking. So, and here is a time when they're faced with more possible funding sources than maybe they've ever seen before, but they don't have the wherewithal or the resources to go look at it. What's nice about these private sector organizations like Polycom, who, you know, is now also Pitchertel, they acquired Pitchertel, and Tanberg and Lifesize and all of these other companies in this, including Cisco and Microsoft, a lot of private sector organizations are implementing these grant assistance programs because they can get the word out, and they can also help them apply. They help them understand what's required to go after that funding.
Right, and the just the distance learning component, number one, I think I heard that Tanberg got bought a week or two ago.
Yes, and actually, from what I understand, that's supposed to be final in the next couple of weeks, and Cisco is taking that over.
Gee, what a surprise. Cisco is such a, you know, almost prescient company when it comes to understanding that distance learning is what's going to happen. Them and the Apollo Group with the University of Phoenix, you know, I don't know if they were the first online university, but they were the first certainly to popularize it.
Right, and you've got really big organizations now like the Florida Virtual University, and you've But I'll tell you, I don't think there's ever a time when John Chambers from Cisco is up speaking at a show that he's not really pumped up and hyped about telepresence and visual communications and what it can do, you know, in education and really in all sorts of environments. The healthcare environment, I'm really sort of focused on that right now because of this grant with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. But when you think about some of the places like Alaska, where the villages, the citizens out in the villages, have some really unique challenges, and they don't have physicians. They don't have even nurses. They have aides that can help at a local clinic or a school. But if they have this visual communication, they can hook up scopes and vital signs information and really transfer healthcare information back and forth to specialists. And instead of having to lifelight somebody, you know, to a bigger city, which may not even be possible due to weather.
Yep.
So it's very compelling to look at this. And I think that's what the federal government is trying to accomplish with some of these programs, whether it's the Department of Health and Human Services or Agriculture or Department of Ed or even the Department of Labor.
Well, let's look at Health and Human Services and Ed when we come back. My guest today is Kristen DeProspero. Kristen is the principal of, where it is, Funding Solutions Corporation. You can find her at fundingsolutionscorp.com. And when we come back, we will delve into some of the other federal department grants program. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Why do some big government initiatives succeed while others fail? How can we achieve better results in government? These questions and more are examined in the new book, If We Can Put a Man on the Moon, Getting Big Things Done in Government, co-authored by Deloitte's Bill Eggers. Visit Deloitte.com/US/Man on the Moon to learn more about the book that serves as a roadmap for overcoming some of our nation's biggest implementation challenges.
Become a citizen of Mattstown and make your dollar go further at Nationals Park. Watch future Hall of Famer Pudge Rodriguez, All-Star Ryan Zimmerman, Slugger Adam Dunn, and the Nats as they battle the Dodgers April 23rd, 4th, and 5th. Friday and Saturday, Miller Lite Party Night. Sunday, Family Fun Day with pregame autographs and post-game Kids Run the Bases. And the first 10,000 kids, 12 and under, receive a free kids cap presented by Smithfield. Visit Nationals.com or call 888-632-NATS.
The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com explores the hard issues surrounding cloud computing from the government's perspective, sharing with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the Fed Cloud blog on Twitter, sponsored by Intel and Cisco. Two technology companies leading the cloud revolution.
Let's talk about Google Wave. If somebody has a blog and they would like to create a wiki within their blog, they don't have to write the code. They create a wave, they just drag that wave into their blog, and now their blog is empowered with a wiki. And they have all of that real-time translation capacity within their blog.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Plane's fuel. Are we good to go?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Baggage?
Empty crate, a plane ready for takeoff.
Guys, we got an empty dog carrier here.
And your moment of truth.
We need all eyes on a missing dog now.
Which push-to-talk network do you want to keep business flying?
Nothing at ticketing.
Nothing at the gate.
Got a 20 on your missing passenger.
Let me guess. Food court.
Roger that.
When you want the largest push-to-talk coverage area in the nation, you want Verizon. Plus, now get push-to-talk in the BlackBerry Tour smartphone. Buy one today for $99.99 after $100 mail-in rebate debit card and get the second one free. Each phone requires new two-year activation on a voice plan with data pack $29.99 or higher. Early termination and other fees per line apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Kristen DeProspero, who is the president and CEO of Funding Solutions Corporation. She is an expert in the grants and stimulus process, and we are discussing probably as much as we can all things grants and ERA. And at the end of the last segment, you mentioned the we were talking about the telemedicine thing, and that sort of ties directly into what's coming out of HHS or NIH or CDC or public health on these things?
And HRSA. Yeah. It's amazing. There are a lot of grants that are due actually right now. I believe it's April. Let me look at my board. April 26th, I believe, is the deadline for quite a number of grants. There's one called Equipment to Enhance Training for Healthcare Professionals. And along with the Department of Labor, as well as HRSA, there's a very big push to help the workforce. And in particular, there is a focus on high-growth, high-demand jobs and careers. So if you look at, say, healthcare, there's a real shortage with nursing and various healthcare and allied health professionals. So when the country is faced with, you know, unemployment and looking at how do we retool the workforce and get people back to work, these various programs are coming to aid in that they're providing these grants that will help both in research as well as scholarships and equipment and all sorts of eligible, fundable projects to aid in healthcare applications. So these high growth, high demand markets, for example, I believe there's, depending on which site you look at, there's anywhere from 14 to 17 of these career paths. And they include healthcare. They include even financial. So they're looking at students who are coming up through the K through 12 system, as well as displaced workers, people who've become unemployed. And there's a focus on getting people certified, but doing it quickly. So when you look at the community colleges or the tech schools, I know President Obama and the new administration are looking at these certifications, two-year certifications, where you can get in, get your certification, and get into a new career path. So career pathways are a major focus, and healthcare is one of those strong areas.
Now, Can universities as well as two-year schools get involved in this if they're offering the right programs?
Yeah, they absolutely can. And I think the key to a lot of these is the partnerships. If they do, if they partner with their local workforce investment boards and the local county agencies that are dealing directly with workforce issues, and a lot of times they are, in particular, especially at the community college or tech school level, they are talking to them about what are the local needs. You know, if you've got a place where they've had plants closed down or they have a new increase in energy and alternative energy sources and business development. They are at the schools, the universities and colleges, all the higher education communities, are building these programs that can immediately address that. You know, so if we're talking about wind turbines or some other alternative energy and green energy applications, these certifications are exactly what they need. So the various 26 different federal agencies that have grants are looking at that and trying to fund education and green job-focused programs, so it translates to that local level.
Okay. For years, I have heard that a lot of the grants money goes unspent. How accurate is that?
You know, that is pretty accurate. Some of it doesn't get spent, and that's for a variety of reasons. One of the challenges, of the many challenges with this, is that the process takes a long time, so it's this huge oxymoron because we've got the stimulus that needs to get out by September. They literally have to, many of the programs have to be allocated and funded, like the BTOP, the broadband program.
Mm.
That has to be distributed and allocated by September, but the application process to prepare and apply Boy, that takes a lot of work and a lot of preparation. But if you go through the process and you apply, and then you get notices that you've been awarded, there are a whole other level of steps and activities and reports that you have to go through to encumber the money and spend the money and then report on how you're using the money. And if you think about anywhere from 12 months to 18 months just in that initial phase, not to mention the project implementation phase, which could be a couple of years on down the road, you have turnover. You know, people are leaving, whoever sort of was the driver or leader of the program. And there's a lot of movement in the workforce. So some percentage of those dollars don't get spent and don't get used. But the good news is generally they roll those over depending on the program and they put them back into the system.
Yeah, these aren't discretionary funds that if you don't spend it, you lose it kind of thing.
Well, there's different types of funding sources. So they've got the formula funding and the competitive funding and continuation funding and pass-through dollars. But the formula funds, well, for example, the E-rate program with the FCC, E-rate is, I guess, known to be sort of the education rate. It's a discount program. But it's very much a formula. If you meet the requirements, you get the funding. But a lot of times they either have people that either don't sign the documents or don't enter the paperwork properly, and they have a chunk, a bucket of funding that doesn't get distributed that they roll into the next year.
Okay. Before we wrap up this segment, we laid out some topics to discuss beforehand, and because I am just totally novice in this area. Let's talk a little bit about what's happened in grants and aid to state and local governments since the introduction of ERA.
Okay. Yeah, so if you look back, if I could show you a chart, in 1960, there was $7 billion in grants in AIDS. This is information that comes from the CBO. And in 2006, $450 billion. So a huge jump, you know.
And what year was that?
2006. So in the span of 40 years, it went from $7 billion to $450 billion with a B. When they introduced the stimulus, it went to over $1 trillion in grants. Now, here we are 1 year later in 2010, and we've got the health care bill, jobs bill. Those are all introducing additional competitive grants. So, as well as formula funding, you know, the standard distribution based on some demographics and predetermined formula. So it just keeps going up. It's like a hockey stick and shooting through the roof. And the local folks that are the eligible entities are trying to navigate where is this all coming from.
Okay, and that's really where you come in, yes, no, yes?
Yes, for both, actually, both organizations, whether it's private sector or public sector.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are communities of grant writers out there. There are also project managers and program development folks that focus on program development, because when you look at the funding, you know, a lot of times there is a relative fit. You know, let's say that a school district wants to implement 3D curriculum, one of the newer, hotter topics, and they want to enhance education and performance and maybe turn around a failing school, and they're trying to be innovative. Well, the actual program needs development. It needs some thought, and they need to figure out how to implement the curriculum and implement the whole project. When they start to see funding sources like Race to the Top, which was a recent funding source that from the stimulus, $9.7 billion, and Race to the Top was so competitive. They had 41 states apply, 16 finalists, and only two winners in the first round.
Did those two winners split the 9.7, or
no,
just get a piece of it?
They just got a piece of it.
Okay.
So there's going to be another round, and mm-hmm. Race to the Top, this $9.7 billion, the Race to the Top portion is $4.3 billion. Each of these have subsets. So I guess to answer your question is this is where we come in. We look at this all day, every day, and our team focus is on these different funding sources, we're neck deep in it all the time, trying to navigate what's happening next and where's the money going and who's eligible. So we go back and can help that education agency, local school district, or multiple consortium of school districts see if they're a good fit for that funding source. And by the way, the company that sells the 3D curriculum tools, they're also trying to help their customers figure it out. So we help from as many directions as we can to try to get the right projects into the application phase, which is, the phases of applying. That's a whole other conversation about.
Right. And I don't know that we're going to have time for that today, because I want to get into how businesses are dealing with the volume of this. So when we come back, we'll address that. My guest today is Kristen DeProspero, and Kristen is the CEO of Funding Solutions Corporation. You can find her at fundingsolutionscorp.com. And when we come back, we are going to be dealing directly or asking or talking directly about how businesses deal with the volume of grant-related deals coming down the pike. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The landmark 35th running of the Marine Corps Marathon will be Sunday, October 31st, when 30,000 runners charge across Arlington, Virginia, and through the nation's capital. Make the commitment to be active, healthy, and run with the Marines. Registration for the fourth largest marathon in the country opens online beginning April 7th and is expected to close quickly. It's time to run your favorite marathon. Visit marinemarathon.com.
In partnership with Federal News Radio, a Bonneville station, together making a difference in Washington.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Are you in the cloud? Whether you're managing your software on-premise, in the cloud, or a bit of both, Microsoft offers you unprecedented choice. The choice to manage the mission-critical computing resources your agency needs now with the vision, flexibility, and security features to meet many of the ever-evolving federal requirements. Cloud services from Microsoft. We're all in. Are you in?
Learn more about Microsoft's cloud services. Visit Microsoft.com/govcloud. That's Microsoft.com/govcloud.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Kristen DeProspero, who is the CEO and president of Funding Solutions Corporation. Kristen, there's just so much stuff here. But let's get into how businesses are dealing with the volume of grant-related deals. You've touched on this briefly, but what do they need to know? What do they need to do? How do they select an outside provider like you?
Well, the innovative organizations and the successful organizations are implementing grant assistance programs. So they realize that they have to focus on their core competencies, which are usually not grants or funding or stimulus. So they outsource this grant assistance capability. In some cases, they've insourced it. Like Cisco, we talked about them earlier. Microsoft has a program, and some of these smaller companies have programs as well. And really, any size organization can benefit if they sell to public sector. But what they're doing is implementing these grant assistance programs that can bridge the gap. You like that acronym, grant
yep.
assistance program?
Mm-hmm.
And they have things like grant help desks. So let's say they have this public sales organization, maybe 50 people out in the field or 100, whatever, and they get questions from their customers about grants. Just like I did 22 years ago when they'd say, I didn't get the grant, and I'd say, what grant? So now they're implementing these help desks that can be on call and be available to walk through any questions that the customers have about grants they're pursuing and going after or ones that might work for them that they didn't know about. So they're developing marketing tools and help desk functions. And there are a lot of very nice websites and really good online tools. The beautiful thing about working with public sector is that everything is online. I mean, it's there. It all has to be. It's public information. And if you don't have, for example, if you're curious about a grant and you don't know what would be a successful application, you can use the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, to request successful grants that have been submitted to get a feel for what are they looking for. So they are using these tools, including the public websites like the Catalog for Federal Domestic Aid, the CFDA mm-hmm. website.
CFDA.gov, yeah.
Right, to look up what's out there, what's coming, what can I apply for.
So when these help desks get the questions, they're liable to be opening 20, 30 different screens just to find the exact right information.
I have at least three screens open in my cockpit in my conference in my room, and I keep looking at maybe adding more, and then I think that's just crazy. But it's true. There's you're going to have a lot of information open on your desk. It's for the private sector companies. It's also about educating your sales force and your marketing people to understand the challenges that the state and local organizations are facing, and being able to find the data, and it's out there. People like the folks at eRepublic that have the Center for Digital Government and mm-hmm. the Center for mm-hmm. Digital Education.
It's out in Sacramento.
Right. Yeah. They have great information about what's happening with the local schools and the local organizations, government organizations. They have a real nice pool of researchers that are checking in on that data on a regular basis, so you can get updated real-time intelligence about your prospective customer.
Right. You're also using my friends at it on Via, aren't you?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they had a wonderful thing happen when the stimulus came about. They seized the website recovery.org.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember, but Vice President Biden mentioned recovery.org as opposed to recovery.gov. And I guess they broke their system that day. But, yeah, they have some wonderful information. And a lot of this is free and right up there. Some of it is at a fee, you know, some sort of small service fee.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what you need. And, you know, you look at Microsoft 360, they have that software, the program that helps any organization, whether it's private or public, you know, the applicants, the people seeking the funding, or the private organizations that are trying to help their customers, they have these visualization tools and that help them manage and track and report on funding sources. And because it really just, the information is all over the place. It's not in one place. So the more you can kind of pull it together into one source, the better off. So people like Envia, the Center for Digital Government, Microsoft 360.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a small company in California called eCivis, and they focus on municipalities. And their whole purpose is to help them find, apply, and track their grant programs. And it's a wonderful program. They really have a lot of success helping, you know, like a local government. You know, I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and they would work with Cobb County, the Cobb County office, to mm-hmm. help them look at what they're eligible for and how to apply, and then to track everything they've applied for. So they don't necessarily have to burden and have more employees tracking all of that. They can reduce their staff and use these outside tools to supplement.
Well, and it's not like there's a dearth of municipalities. There's, what, about 30,000
right.
cities and,
right.
and townships?
And, right, 125,000 schools,
yeah.
30-plus so. Thousand municipalities. I mean, this is the biggest segment for customers for a lot of these organizations, and there's still a lot of sales reps scratching their head. How do I work with these organizations? And I really tell people a lot of times that if you can stick with it and you can look at the tools that are available and really book out your time, whether it's 1 or 2 days a week where you can research, pull down the information, and do your calling, you've got everything you need. You just have to be persistent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, even when the grants process or the, excuse me, grants process, yeah, the stimulus money phases out, the grants process stays in place, and this is largely a huge place for funding for commercial companies looking to do business at the Fed SLED level, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Cool.
Right. And I was looking up this morning again to see if there's any news on possible stimulus, too. And I know that's kind of a bad thing to say. It depends on how, you know, here's my prediction. It's going to happen. It just isn't going to be called stimulus, too, because nobody really wants it to be called stimulus.
Right.
But we can already see, based on that chart I talked about earlier, that there is no slowing down of these grant programs.
Yeah, but you also have the fact that if the money is not spent by a certain date this year, it's not going to be. And still, there's over half the money that hadn't been allocated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we may see a situation where Stimulus 2 is simply the rollover of this with a new name. Would that be a scenario?
Right. And, you know, like we just saw with the health care bill and jobs bill and these other programs, there are huge portions of each of those programs, a large percentage that are these competitive and formula grants. So there's just no slowing down. It's not going to slow down.
Cool. My guest today is Kristen DeProspero, who is the CEO and president of Funding Solutions Corporation. You can find her at fundingsolutionscorp.com. All the contact information's there. When we come back, we're going to do grants basics. So if you haven't gone after funding this way before or helped your clients get funding this way before, well, that's what we'll be talking about. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500. AM.
How is the federal government promoting sustainability and environmental stewardship? What is the federal government doing to green its operations and reduce its carbon footprint? What about the GreenGov Challenge? Listen next week as these questions and more will be explored with Michelle Moore, Federal Environmental Executive, Executive Office of the President, next week on the Business of Government Hour. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The top U.S. military commander in Afghanistan says the coalition is spending too much money on private sector contractors and insists his forces are keeping a close watch on the flow of Taliban fighters who are training in Iran. General Stanley McChrystal, during a 4-day visit to France, said the coalition in Afghanistan has become too dependent on private contractors in the effort to stabilize that country.
I'm J.J. Green.
Have you ever wondered how the transportation industry exchanges data? Airink knows. If you've ever booked a flight in Asia or a hotel in Europe or checked your arrival status in the U.S., this data was processed by Airink. With one of the largest private and secure networks in the world, airlines, hotels, car rental, and travel agencies have entrusted Airink's network to provide guaranteed data exchange. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Be sure to mark April 29th on your calendar and attend the Excellence.gov Awards luncheon at the JW Marriott Hotel in Washington. These awards will recognize the game changers, those federal programs and their managers who have achieved exceptional results in managing IT in support of the government's mission and serving citizens. On April 29th, the winners will join the over 150 programs that have received the Excellence.gov Award since 2002. For more information, go to actgov.org/excellence.gov2010.
Get the Federal News Radio iPhone app, where you can listen to Federal News Radio, read Mike Causey's daily columns, and listen to interviews from all of your favorite shows on demand, like The Federal Drive, The Daily Debrief, In Depth, and Your Turn. Stay on top of the latest news affecting the federal government and contracting community, all from the palm of your hand. And the best part? It's free and easy. Go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I'm getting educated today by my wonderful guest, Kristen DeProspero of Funding Solutions Corporation. And this is really an eye opener for me. I've really only glossed this the whole time during the funding thing because I have friends at Onvia. I have you. I can just say when somebody calls, no, you got to talk to Kristen, or you got to get information from Onvia, or if it's education, maybe MCH out in St. Louis. You know, I have a number of sources for this, so I don't have to learn it, but I really should have picked up a little earlier, don't you think?
Well, the good news is that you have a lot of people you can just contact, and there really is a large number of professionals out here in the market that can help. I'll just mention Ellen Karsh just did the third edition, I think it was released in February, of the only grant writing book you'll ever need. And there are so many sources. They even have a grant writing for dummies book. You know, it's like most other things. Once you look into it and realize there's a process that you have to follow, it is very much a science, but there's also an art to it. And that's where you have to get very good, as you say, adult supervision and very good professionals with some experience. There are a lot of people that are out here now saying, I'm a grant writer, I can do this, and I can help with your grant project management, but you really want to vet them out and look at their history and what they can really do for you. Because, if I look at a project and I can't take it on, for example, the other day I got a call about I3, the Invest in Innovation Fund. They call it I3. It's part of that Race to the Top, $9.7 billion we talked about. They have $650 million, and that grant is due May 11th, and everyone is scrambling right now to apply. And a big component of that program is the evaluation. So once you've applied, and let's say you get awarded and you're lucky enough to get awarded, you have to also have a very big evaluation component to see if you're doing what you said you would do.
Right.
So
the transparency aspect.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of reporting. That's the burden to go after these can seem very daunting and can really deter some people, both the private organizations that are trying to help their customers as well as the customers themselves. But I just am so passionate about it. You can't turn your head away from it. You've got to look at it because you could really make a difference. You can keep jobs and keep programs active if you pursue these.
Right. So when a company decides they want to go after this, like when they come into the government market, I tell them they need a 12 to 24 month window. Mm-hmm. So, and I know in your grants basics, when you are talking to people, you say there's a phase, there's a number of phases here. So walk us through this.
Well, I'm glad you said that about the timing because you're absolutely right. This is not something you can just sort of jump into and then have success in 6 months. And that's such a challenge because we know a lot of these organizations, the sales reps are very coin operated. You know, it's what do you have this month and what do you have next month and this quarter? God forbid you look out and plan and can have some time to do strategic planning for 12 months from now or 18 months from now. But those are the really big opportunities. You know, I mentioned the Invest in Innovation program. They have three levels. The first level is $5 million. The second level is $30 million, and the third level is $50 million. So these grants are not small. They're very, very big opportunities. But when you look at the phases to prepare to apply, you have to do a feasibility study. You have to look at, do we really fit? And then make sure that the project is developed, and you do the project planning and the program development to not only fit, but do the program that's right for your organization or your school or your healthcare agency, or your first responder. I haven't mentioned them, but first responders, police, fire, they have a lot of funding that is coming their way.
Yep, through Justice, through DHS.
Right. And so, you know, I'm all focused right now on healthcare and education, but very soon, literally in the next few days, I'm going to reshift some of my focus to the Justice Assistance Grants, the JAG grants, because that's starting to come out, and people need to know about it, and they need to apply, and they need to pursue it, and they need to have a plan to do that.
A friend of mine runs that program.
Oh, so, good. Well,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I'll keep that in my book. Right, so, and then you apply, and let's say you're lucky enough to win, and you can fulfill a contract with a vendor and purchase the equipment. You've got to also look at sustainability after you implement the project. How do you sustain it? That's a huge portion. They don't want to just throw money into programs that are going to be short-lived and quick hits. They want to have sustainable, ongoing, innovative programs.
Man, it just goes on and on. So
it does.
Yeah, your application process, you have basically a two-month opportunity to get it in, right?
Right. You've got a 60-day window where you get official notice from the Federal Register. And you want to make sure you read those Federal Registers, that they look very dry and, you know, these very busy, small font documents that you've got to read through, but you just have to do it. The other thing you want to look at is the NOFA or NOSA. They call it different things at different agencies, but generally it's the Notice of Funding Availability. And this is just like when you were in grade school when they say, make sure you read the instructions. And I know, you know, sometimes I'm quite ADHD and I will go on and let me fill out number 10 and 12, but I have to force myself to read it step by step and make sure that I'm looking specifically at every instruction in that notice, because it tells you what to do and how to apply and how to be successful. They tell you what they want. So you wouldn't believe how many people don't look at that.
Okay. We don't have a heck of a lot of time left, so I would like to ask directly, is it worthwhile for most companies to try to do this in-house, or should they go out and get, again, what I call adult supervision between mm-hmm. takes? I'm very much in favor of hiring expertise, partially because I am an outside expert for a lot of companies, but also, you know, I built my business predicated on the fact that I do know a lot of things that a lot of people don't.
Well, yeah, and you have the advantage if you outsource that if it isn't working, you just cut the program. If it is working, you grow it. But I would say that if you have an established public sector workforce, that they know what it means to sell to that group, then you may consider insourcing. You may consider putting on one or two people depending on the scope and potential and size of your opportunity. But, of course, you need to do a needs or you need to do a market analysis to look at how much really is available for what you provide. You know, I don't know, you sell widgets, and you need to look at how many grants are out there that could possibly fund widgets. Because these groupings of funding sources, they, depending on the agencies and the funding sources themselves, they have different focus. Some will pay salaries, some won't. Some will pay for equipment, some won't. So you have to look at what's the market potential, what's your total available market, and then you can see what you can afford. But if you don't have an established public sector sales force, you really, I strongly recommend that you just outsource and you look at sort of building it up. And you're right, 12 to 24 months minimum, because this is not something you just sort of jump into. You got to plan, and you've really got to put a system in place. It's a very systemized approach.
It is an extremely systematic approach. Kristen, I really appreciate you coming on today, and I'm sorry it took so long, but we'll do this again, probably as the stimulus deadline draws closer.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thanks for joining me. My guest today has been Kristen DeProspero. You can find Kristen at FundingSolutionsCorp.com, and where she is president and CEO. And if you need help in this area, give her a call. This is not my day job. If you need assistance on the marketing, lead generation side of things, please give me a call. You can find me at federaldirect.net. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center with Amtower.
You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Morning stretches, biking to work, quick walks at lunch, shopping at the farmer's market, getting all your antioxidants, flavonoids, and omega-3s while staying properly hydrated. Oh, and don't forget 8 hours of good sleep. Trying to live a healthy lifestyle doesn't leave a lot of time for managing your health care. That's why Kaiser Permanente offers members My Health Manager, an online tool you can use to proactively manage health care for you and your family members, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have a question for your doctor? Email your doctor's office and get a response. Make, cancel, or reschedule routine appointments. Get test results, check recent immunization records, view most of your medical history, and order prescription refills. All in a secure environment, all at your convenience, all so you have more time to thrive. To learn more about My Health Manager, visit kp.org. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
One little fish oil pill. You know this powerful little pill is great for your heart, that it's great for your joints. It even has powerful benefits for your skin and brain function. But other fish oils of today are, sadly, incomplete because they don't contain vitamin D that can promote mood, energy, and bone health. Until now. Introducing the risk-free trial of Omega Berry with vitamin D and acai from Purity Products. Our most powerful fish oil formula ever. The only thing our advanced Omega Berry fish oil is missing is the price. Because right now, we're offering anyone a full-size bottle of fish oil as part of a nationwide risk-free trial. Plus, the best-kept secrets to healthy aging. A free book. Just call 1-800-700-1605. To request yours, you can't go to stores. The only way to get your free trial and free book is to go to the phone. The number is 1-800-700-1605. Call now for your free trial. That's 1-800-700-1605.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down the walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Save money at halfpricedc.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more. This week, halfpricedc.com has half-price gift certificates to California Tortilla. Let them cater your next event. Imagine, in Gaithersburg, a boutique for women and men that provides fashion, fit, and timeless style. And Alto Plaza in Centerville, where mouthwatering flavors from Latin America and Spain await you. See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, worldwide.